Boker Tov. We're on the Mishnah in the middle of Daf Lamed Amud Bet, and as you can see both from the top half and the bottom half of the page, our halachic information today is relatively minimal relative to the Agadah, and as you see as a result, also we have lots and lots of psukim. A couple of them we'll have to refer to on the page. The first one is something that we dealt with in the first paragraph. Originally, during the times of the Mikdash, they would accept testimony all day for Kiddush HaChodesh. Now, we've gone, it looks like we're doubling back to where we were. We're not. We are simply compiling a list of takanot of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, which started with, for our purposes, the takana of blowing shofar in the Beit Din, outside of Yerushalayim. When Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, we had Yom Hanef, then we had the takana of Lulav and Yom Hanef. Now we see a takana coming up in a second. One time, the Edim came very late, and the Shira got confounded. It's unclear how it got confounded. The Gemara will raise two possibilities. The Levim, evidently during the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim, got fouled up in their Shira. So they made a takana. This is pre-Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, of course. They made a takana to only accept witnesses until Mincha, meaning until the Tamid Shel Ben Harbayim. If it happens to be Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, then if witnesses did not come by that time, they would nonetheless regard the day as being Kodesh, Rosh Hashanah, and then there would be no Egeset, and the next day as being Kodesh, which means we have a very early record of 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Yerushalayim. But this was not the Lechatchila, this was in case witnesses happened to show up late in the day. Now, if witnesses did not show up late in the day, then they regarded that day as Av Minchol, their Mekadesh, the next night. So since Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai just restored the ancient formula of being Mekabel Edim all day, for the simple reason that there is no Korban, there is no Shir, and therefore there's no reason to limit their arrival to before Mincha. Now, the Gemara immediately tries to figure out what the problem was in that year during the times of the Mikdash that caused them to limit the acceptance of Edim to Mincha. What happened? Hachatagimu. So here they explained it as follows. Shalomu Shira Kolikar. What happened is they did not say Shira at all because it was considered a weekday. And we'll see, in other words, the idea is that on a weekday there is no Shira that accompanies the Talmud Shabbat on Bayim. And then it came out, so they had not said the Shira, and now retroactively we said this was really a yontif. Rabbi Zera says, no, that's not the problem. The problem was that they said the wrong Shira. They said no Shira, the wrong Shira. Now that is going to come down to the difference of whether there is a Shira that accompanies the Tamid Shel Ben Arvayim every day. That we know that there's a Shira that accompanies the Tamid Shel Shachar every day, you know very well. You just said it. Hayom Yom Shlishi B'Shabbat. And that is the Shira that, and we're going to see that sugi in a minute. Amar Rabbi Zera Lahav Abrei. So Rabbi Zera taught his son, So Rabbi Zera trying to prove his point that the problem was that there was no Shira said, not that they said the wrong Shira, not that no Shira was said. He shows an expanded version of the original Takana, which was they made the Takana that you do not accept witnesses except if it's early enough that you could still bring the Tamid and say the Shira with it. So if you say like me, then you're good, which is that they said the wrong Shira, that's the Shibush. Because Shibush normally we mean some sort of corruption or mess up. But if you're going to tell me that what happened was they did not say it at all, where they should have said it because it was really Rosh Chodesh, it was really Yontif, if it was Tishrei, then that's not called Shibush, that's called omission. Shibush is when you say the wrong thing. You know, sometimes it happens, you're davening very fast, you're davening somewhere where, you know, maybe on your own in a hotel room and you're rushing and you're not thinking, and you get to Micha Mocha. I don't know if this ever happened to you. I've heard it's happened to people. You get to Micha Mocha and Shirat Hayam, and the next thing you know, you're standing Shmoneh Esrei. You know, because you won't pay. So that's called shibush. You got the wrong nichamocha there. You know? Or another example of shibush should be that there was Kriyas HaTorah on a Tuesday. It was a fast day. And at the end you said, Hayom Yom Sheni V'Shabbos, because you're so used to Kriyas HaTorah being Monday, that's a shibush. But omission, he says, is not a shibush. Therefore, I'm right that there was a shira said, but it turned out to be the wrong shira because witnesses came and retroactively turned it into Rosh Chodesh.
Normally they don't say shira yesterday. That was the problem.
That, well, no, that's what Rabbi Zera is trying to prove. He says that they always said shira in the afternoon, and the word shibush indicates that they said the wrong one. In other words, the Levim had said one shira for chol, then the Eidim arrived later, turned out retroactively it was Rosh Hashanah, and they had said the wrong one. Or it was Rosh Chodesh, and they had said the wrong one. Right? That's what he claims. The position of the Chachamim is that they never said a shira, and the shibush was that they should have, and they didn't. His argument is linguistic. He says the word shibush doesn't mean omission. It means doing the wrong thing. Some sort of confusion.
What should they have done? They didn't know that it was the Rosh Hashanah
yet. Exactly his point. So he's saying that's why they made the takana to not accept witnesses that late. And that way, if witnesses come that late, the next day is Rosh Hashanah, and then you have all the proper shira. But they're just trying to get to the root cause of the event that year to cause the takana. He's just playing with that, and they're playing off the word shibush. What does shibush mean? Kevan de lo amor klal, eim lecha shibush gadol mizeh. The Chachamim's response is, there is no greater shibush than omission. And therefore, our position, which is that there normally is not a shirah said in the afternoon, still holds. And that was the shibush. Now, meiti v'racha barhuna, tamid shal Rosh Hashanah, shacharit karev ki ilchato, the Korban Tamid, that Rosh Hashanah is brought normally, musaf ma'omer, what do you say with the musaf? Now, with Shachrit, what you say with it is whatever day it is. If it's on a Monday, so you say Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. That's what the Levim would say. What about the Musaf? Harninu l'Elohim l'Zinu Haril l'Elohe Yaakov. By the way, that's the middle of the Mizmor that we say on Thursdays. And in the Vilna Gaon's reckoning, that's the Mizmor Shir of Rosh Hashanah. The Mincha Ma'omer, what do you say at Mincha? Kol Adonai Yachil Midbar, Mizmor Chavtet, Mizmor David. What do you do if Rosh Hashanah falls on Thursday? Where the one you were going to say in Musaf, you were saying anyways in Shachrit. That's the regular daily shir. Because then you're just repeating yourself. So what would they do? They divide it in two. It's Pasuk Zion of that same parak. So they would say the first half in the Shachrit and the second half with Musaf. All right. Let's say Edim showed up in the mid-morning. Let's say it's Thursday, and you're not sure if today is Alef Tishrei or Lamed Elul. Remember, they're playing with the possibility that there could be a Lamed Elul. So you say Harninu with Shachar. Regular Tami. By the way, the Tami doesn't change if it's Shchol or Shabbos. Several of the things around it do, but the Korban doesn't change. So let's say you brought the Talmid, and then Edim showed up and said, today is Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, and the Beit Din announced it. You then repeat that parak. Even though you're repeating the parak, it's not such an Achim Bey. You repeat the parak for the Musaf Rosh Hashanah. Now, that's the statement. If you agree with me, and this goes to Ethan's question. Remember, whatever day they came, we knew it was a potential Rosh Chodesh. When the Rosh Chodesh is not coming on the 23rd. So therefore, if you agree with me, that when there is a safek, you say the regular shira of chol until you find out that it's wrong. That's why they said that if it's Thursday and it's the 30th of Elul, and the Eidim have not come first thing in the morning, when you bring the Talmid Shel Shachar, you say the Thursday shir, and then if they show up right after that, and the Beit Din says the Kudash, you bring the Musaf Rosh Hashanah, you say it again, right? But if you're going to claim, Rabbi Zera is turning back. He's saying, if you're going to claim that there is no Shira said on Chol, now he's now suggesting about Shachrit, which we know is not the case. If you're going to suggest that there is no Shira on Chol, Shira is only on Yontif, then there's no problem here. Because if it's a Thursday, you're not going to say anything anyways until you turn out to Shana, then you're going to say. So Shani Hatam B'Shira Diomehi. Now that's not the case, because certainly we all agree it's said in the morning. The Shachrit, there's always a Shira said. Nobody disputes that. It's a Mishnah and Talmid. And that's the Shira of that day because it's a Thursday. So that's what that's what the issue is. That does not prove anything about whether or not the Shira was said Bein Arba'in. Now we're going to see expansion on this, and we're simply going to go through the sugya of Shir Shal Yom, which is the Mishnah Talmid, with an explanation of why each Shira is associated with that day of the week. Tanya, Rehuda Omer, Mishum Rav Akiva. Rishon Ma'om, Rehuda Omer, Adonai Haaretz U'Mlo'ah. Why? Hashem Shekanah V'Iknah V'Shalif Ba'Olamo. That's the day God created the world, so the world belongs to God. That's why you have that Shira that starts with that line. By the way, which means that the association of the day is really chiefly by the first line as opposed to the whole theme, the theme of the entire parak. Hashem Omerim, Gadol Adonai Malam Yod. Why? Hashem Shechilek Masav U'Malach Aleihen. God is great because at that point he already created other things, the heavens, etc., and he rules over them. Why? He exposed the land, right? And so therefore now there is a place for him to become king among his people. Why? It's a somewhat circuitous argument. But because God created the sun and the moon, which are going to be worshipped by others, and God will then take nekama from those who worship them. These are ones who sing to God. And this is when fowl birds were created who sing. Very nice. Why? Now he has finished his work on the sixth day, and so now he's able to be crowned in royal guards. Why? Liyom shikulo Shabbat. Meaning it's a reference to the future. If you take a look, by the way, at Mizbar Shil Yom Shabbat, you'll see that there is nothing in there about Shabbat. It is all about a better world or a more realized world. If anybody's interested, send me an email. I'll send you the shir I wrote on Mizbar Shil Yom Shabbat. You'll see that. Just send me an email today or whatever you want.
This is what we say after Ein Kalahena this Brisa.
No, we don't say this Brisa. We say the Mishnah and Talmid. Mishnah and Talmid says that this line, Mizvashel Shabbat, Mizvashel Yom Shikulo Shabbatum Nucha L'Chaye Olamim. This Brisa is jumping off of that Mishnah and saying, this is why each one of these Shirim was said with each day. Amam Nechemya, Malo Uchacham Nuchalek Ben Aparkim Malalu. Right, so why did Chachamim make these distinctions? We saw that. So why did Chachamim distinguish between these prakim? Because each one of these days was a day of distinction. God distinguished the world and owned it. God distinguished new things and ruled over them. God made the land appear and distinguish water from land, etc. Because God rested. So it's not about the future, but rather just because that's the day that God rested, so it means Yom HaShabbat. This entire Braita about the issue of Shabbat disagrees with the statement of Rav Katina. The Yom HaKatina, Shita Al Feshane Havi Alma, V'chad Charuv. The world will be around for 6,000 years, and then 1,000 years of destruction. Earth is going to be destroyed, and then on that great apocalyptic day, only God's name will be elevated. I mean, everything else will be destroyed. Abaya trei charuv. Abaya says there'll be 2,000 years of destruction. He will bring us back to life after 2 days. So, parenthetic, I can point out how much the Christians love this pasuk. All right, I mean, the entire resurrection was to attempt to try to fulfill this, that whole scene. Now, what would they say on Musaf of Shabbos? We've already seen what they would say. We know the Shia that they would say with the Talmid Shel Shachar every day. We've now seen what they said on Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, and what you would do if Rosh Hashanah fell on Thursday, how to distinguish. What would they say from Musaf of Shabbos? Amarav Haziv Lach. Look at the note at the top of the page. Haziv Lach is a reference to the first 43 psukim of Hazinu, meaning the whole Shir. The Shirat Hazinu, and it's divided based on the same way that our Aliyot are divided. By the way, that's the only Kriyat HaTorah where there is a halachic mandate about the division of the Aliyot, and you have to divide exactly according to those lines. If you're interested, you want to see something absolutely gorgeous, take a look at the Sforno's comment at Perek Zion, at Pasuk Zion, in Perek Lamed Bet, in Dvarim. He goes through each one of the divisions, explains how thematically each one of them is a unit. and how each one moves to the next. It's a gorgeous piece. And the same division used over the Musafim of Shabbat, meaning that the first week of the cycle they would read Hazino Hashemayim Radavera, the next week they would read Zechor Yimot Olam, the next week they would read Yair Kiveu, etc. That's the same division for Aliyot and Beit Knesset, just like I mentioned. Now, but Minchat Shabbat Mayomrim, what would they say at Minchav Shabbos? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Az Yashir, meaning the first half of Shirat Hayam, Mi Chamocha, which is the second half of Shirat Hayam, and Az Yashir, which is Shirat HaBe'er and Chukat. Az Yashir Yisrael HaShirah Zot Ali Ve'er En Ula Be'er Chafur Asarim, etc. Now, meaning that Shabbat Mincha is the time of Shirat. Ibayalu, Hani Kulu, B'chad Shabbat Amrilu, wait, it's unclear. Did they say all of this in every Shabbat? Or Dilma Kol Shabbat V'Shabbat Amrichad? Or did they say one each Shabbat, so over 3 weeks they'd finish the cycle? So Hashemad HaTanya V'Yosi, Atcha Rishona, Omer HaTachad, Shniya Chazer Shtayim. The answer is that when the Musaf cycle has finished once, the Mincha cycle is finished twice. Why? Because the Musaf cycle has six components. Haziv Lach, six breaks. And the Mincha cycle has three components. So you go through the Mincha cycle twice, you've gone through the Musaf cycle once, proving to you that you don't say all three each Shabbat, you say one of the components each Shabbat, and after 3 weeks you finish. Shraminach, Kwa Shabbat, V'Shabbat, Amrichad, Shraminach. Good. Okay, Amar Yud Bar Idi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Esther Masa'ot Nas'a Shechina. The Shechina traveled, took 10 stops. Mikra'ai, and we see them from Psukim, Uchanegdan Galtas Sanhedrin. And corresponding to these, there are 10 stops that the Sanhedrin took. So, and that we don't have from Psukim because that's post to Tanakh. Migmor, that's a tradition. Good, let's see it. Esam asot nasah shechina, mikrai. Mikaparet likruv. It first started on the kaparet, which is the cover over the aron, to the kruvim. Mikruv likruv, from one kruv to the next. Mikruv lemiftan, which is the barrier. Miftan b'chatzer, out of the chatzer. Chatzer lemizbeach, lemizbeach lagag, the roof of the mikdash. Migag lechoma, lechoma la'ir, umi'ir lahar, to the har abayit. To the mountain. Umi'har lemibar, imbar altavi yashvab imkoma. And it went back. So the Shekhinah leaves Yerushalayim. So it takes 10 steps to leave Yerushalayim. This is at the time of the Korban. Shenemar, Elecha Shuvah El Mekomi. This is from the beautiful passage in Hosea. I'm going to go back to my place. Now, Mikapor, the Kruv, the Mistan, the first three steps, the Chtiv, Venuati, the Chasham, the Bartit, Chami, Ala Kaporet. Because God says, I will speak to you from above the Kaporet. So you see, that's the main seating place of the Shekhinah. Which is why God is also called Yoshev Kruvim. Uchtiv Ayikala Kruv Ayauf, and he rides on the Kruv and he flies. Uchtiv Chor Elohi Yisrael Na'ala Mi'ala Kruv, Shayalav El Mistan Abayit, went to the threshold of the house. Tam Achatzer, this is all in Yechezkel now, describing the departing of the Shekhinah. Tam Achatzer, Uchtiv Ayimalei Abayit Ateanan V'Chatzer Malat Noga Kvod Adonai, and now the Chatzer is filled with the glory of God. Chatzel Mizbeach, the three Raiti at Adonai Nitzav al Mizbeach. This is actually a pasuk in Amos. The idea is that in Amos is 150 years before the Churban, a little more than that. But nonetheless, this is an image he has of Hashem standing over the Mizbeach. This is the outside Mizbeach. Beach la Gag, the Chtiv Tov la Shevet al Pinat Gag. The Gag la Chomat, the Chtiv Inei Adonai Nitzav al Chomat Anach. There's another vision of Amos. God's voice is calling in the city. Which is the Mount of Olives, Har HaZeitim, which is east of the city. These are the psukim, the details of the departure of the Shekhinah from, that's why most of them are from Yechezkel, from the core place of the Shekhinah, in the Kaporet, to one crew, to the other crew, to the threshold, out, etc., until finally it left the city. For 6 months, the Shekhinah waited for the Am Yisrael in the Midbar. The heck with them. Now, there's 10 steps of the Sanhedrin. Migmar. That we have a tradition. We don't have psukim. Ishgata gazit lachanut. It went out from the office of the hewn stone in the mikdash. held to a store at Yerushalayim, Chanut Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim Liyavne. This is right after the Chorban of Yochanan Zakkai. And a slight association here is because these are all Takanot of Yochanan Zakkai after the Chorban, which may be why this is here. Miyavne Usha, which is in the Galil, and the rest of these are Miyusha Liyavne. Miyavne Usha went back and forth. Usha Lishfaran in the Galil, Shfaran Levet Sharim, Levet Sharim Letzipori, Sepharis, Mitzipori Letiberia, Tiberia Amukami Kulan. Shara Shafal Mierstah Beri. It's the lowest, it's the below sea level, it's the lowest, it's not below sea level, but it's the lowest of these cities. And the idea is it's gone down. Belazar Mer Shesh Galut, Shinevarki Heshach, Yoshve Marom Kiryani Skavai Ashpilana, Yoshpilad Eretz Yagiana Arafar. There's like, there's an allusion in this pasuk to six descents. And Rabbi Yochanan Misham Atidin Ligael. And from Tiberia will be the Geulash, the Marit Narim Yafar Kumi Shvi. Shake off the dust and get up and sit on your throne. That there is an ancient rabbinic legend that the Mashiach is going to appear first in Emek Arbel. Emek Arbel is the valley due north of Tiberia. And that's why many people have made sure that they were buried in Emek Arbel. They wanted to be there first for Tchiyat HaMetim and to greet Mashiach, etc. That's the famous Yerushalmi about the two Amoraim who saw the Alubur HaShachar in Emek Arbel.
What is one, that just above the
just as you go out of Tiberia and go north, you're going through Emek Arbel.
The northern shore of the Sea of Galilee.
Right.
The west.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to show you Korcha. We also did Kinyan Yochanan Zakkai. So we have another talking about Yochanan Zakkai. Shafilu Rosh Beitin b'chol makom shelo yu edim olchim elu makom avad. That even if the head of the Beitin, the head of the Sanhedrin, is wherever he is, he's been called away somewhere, nonetheless, you go to the location of the Beit Din HaGadol to testify about Rosh Chodesh. Another takan of Yochanan Zakkai. Right? So a woman was summoned to a Beit Din in the presence of a Amemar in Nahardeya. Azal Amemar L'Mechuzah. He happened to be in Mechuzah at the time. Velo Azal Batre. She did not come to his Beit Din. He wrote a shema, a shantan, or a cherem for not coming to the Beit Din, like a contempt of court writ. Amar le Rav Ashi lememar, v'hana tana, afilu rosh Beit Din v'chol makom shelo yedim olchim elu makom avad. We already learned that for Kiddush HaChodesh, you're supposed to go to the location, not to the Rosh Beit Din. So why are you getting on this lady? She was given a writ to you, and you're the head of the Beit Din, and how dare. The fact that you're gone shouldn't make her follow you. Amar le hani mili l'inyan edut HaChodesh. They said, that ruling is only for Edut HaChodesh. We've seen many rules that were promulgated to make sure that Edim would want to come and testify. We have the big meals for them, we give them Alpayim Amah, etc. And we even ask, if they've already been Mekadesh HaChodesh, we still ask them questions so they can feel good. So therefore, we don't want to mess people up that they're going to all go to Yerushalayim and find that the Rosh Beit Din is somewhere else, they have to follow them. They're going to say, I don't want to do this. And I know we'll do it next time. But here, you have an obligation to pay back your debt and to take care of your din. It's her obligation to show up in the Beit Din. If the Beit Din is moved, or the person that she's been invited to testify in front of is moved, she has to go there. Tana Rabbanan, ein kohanim rishayim la'alot esan lehem l'duchan. Kohanim, as you know, don't wear shoes when they do duchan. By the way, why don't they? Why don't they wear shoes when they do
it?
Yeah, that's what we think. But then why do they wear socks? They all wear socks. It's cold. They don't wear shoes because it's a gemara in Sota, because they're afraid that in the middle of Brechat Kohanim they're going to notice that one of the strings is loose or something and they're going to get distracted from it. That's the reason for the takana. Evidently, in the kind of shoes they had, that would be a common thing. All right? Or they had some sort of socks on. If it was very cold, I'm sure they wore something on. It was very cold. It's a stone floor. I don't know. There's nothing that says you can't wear something. It's not because the mikdash, you can't wear anything, because you have to have no chatzitza between you and the floor. But it's not the base of the mikdash. V'zuachat, I always thought it was a zechel mikdash. But it turns out the Gemara itself says because of the shema yipasek echad mi ritzuotan. V'zuachat mitesha takanot shitkin reyachom zaka. By the way, why don't we look at the Kohanim during Brachas Kohanim? Same thing. You might find the Kohen doing something weird and you get distracted. And therefore you should look down. The Gemara that says, if you look at the Kohen, it's a terrible thing, etc. Tosafot says, that's in the Mitzvah Mikdash. when they had the Shekhinah between their hands, and it was a very awesome sight. He said, today we don't look at the Kohanim because you don't want to get distracted. We'll get to that in several months in the Chagiga. Shita HaPirka. So he said, there are 9 Takanot of Yochanan Zakkai, 6 in our Perek. I listed them on the page. V'chad HaPirka Kama, and one in the first Perek, that you're only Mechal HaShabbos for Nisan and Tishrei, after the Chorban, to testify about the new month. The Idach, what else? That's 7. The Tanya, Gershin Kayer Bizman HaZeh Tzorich Shefish Rova Lekino. A Ger, remember, a Ger would have to bring a Korban. So Bizman HaZeh, he can't bring a Korban. So what does he do? So he puts aside a particular amount of money for the Korban. I remember Shimon Elazar, Kfar Nimna Allah, Rabbi Yochanan Vitlap, Ne'a Takala. So they already voted that Takana out. And then a Takana after the Korban. You can't bring a Korban and you're Mitkayel, you're really Mechusa Kippurim. What do? You set aside a particular amount of money, and that's your money for the Korban, as it were. But Rabbi Yochanan and Tiberia already rejected that Takana because of the obvious Takala. You're going to have money sitting there, the taxation, and then, you know, somebody's going to come along and use it. So he said, we're going to that. So that Takana didn't make it. The Idach, Pukta Rav Papa of Nachman Yitzchak. The 9th Takana is the subject of Machloket. Papa Mar Kerem Ravai. We had this, if you remember, in Beitza. Kerem Ravai, if you recall, is the halacha of your vineyard in the 4th year. The first 3 years you can't eat it. What do you do in the 4th year? Mishalayim like Maisa Sheni. So what can you do if you have a lot of stuff? Like Maisa Sheni. You have been Mechalol it, right? Bring the coins up. They made a Takana that you Kerem Ravai, Dafka the vineyard, within a certain radius from your Shalayim, like to Lud, and to Yericho, and to, all the way to Eilat, etc., whatever that radius is, you cannot be Mechalot, you have to bring it up, because they want your Shalayim to have lots of grapes, to look beautiful, right? And they made the Takana, and Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was the Takan after the Chorban, that you don't have to do that anymore, you can be Mechalot, right? And that's our Papa. If you remember when we studied Masachet Yoma, the strip that was put, there was one strip put on the goat that went out to the Sa'ir Lazazel, and another parallel strip that was put in the Mikdash, and when it would turn white, they knew that the Kapara had happened, but if you remember, sometimes it didn't turn white, people got upset, so they put it inside. That Takana, to put it inside, was another Takana of Yochanan Zakkai. Now, a papa mar kerem ravai de tanya kerem ravai ya oled ushalim malach yom lechol tzad. A lot mentioned here, it must be a different Eilat. Zui tchumah is the Eilat min atzafon, so obviously a different Eilat, the north. Va'akrabat min atzarom, lod min amarav, yarden min amizrach. So you can get a sense that it's about 30 miles in each direction. V'yamar ula v'itei marav ulam av yochanan matan kedei zlater shukei v'shalayim b'perot. So Yerushalayim should look beautiful, there should be lots of perot there. Tanya Kerem Ravai Yalu or Belazav Mizrach Lod. Remember this? He had a Kerem at the east side of Lod, which means he was just inside the boundary, the side of Kfar Tzavi. Kesha Belazav Afkirol Anim. You know what he wanted to do? He was going to emafkir it. He couldn't bring it to Shalayim. So he wanted to emafkir it. Amrullah Tamidav Revi Kfarim Nu Chavarecha Alev Vitiruhu. Your friends have already voted as being Matir, that deen, which means you don't have to take it to Shalayim, you can be Mechalowit. Mar Chavirecha, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Who's that? That's Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So one of the Takanot of Yochanan Zakkai may have been to reformulate the halacha of Kerem Ravai that you may redeem it, even close to your Shalayim. That was a Papa's take. Rabbi Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar Lashon Shel Zohorit. The time Rishana Yikoshrin Lashon Shel Zohorit Al Petach Ulam Bachutz. They originally put it on the outside of the Ulam so everybody could see it. Hil Bin Ayus Mechin Lo Yibin Hayu Ayt Sevin. So if it didn't go white, they were upset. They put it on the inside, so only the Kohen Gadol really could see it. Another Kohanim who would come in, not when the Kohen Gadol was inside. Remember, nobody's allowed to be inside when the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avodah inside. The people would peek in to see. Everybody wanted to see what was happening. So then they made the takana that it wouldn't be in the Mikdash at all, it would be only out with the goat. Right? And that he said that was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai's Takana. Good. So now, why does each one not accept the other's version? Because everybody knows there's 9 Takanot. That was the Mesorah. And so we know 6 of them from our parak, we know another one for the first parak, we know one that was rejected, the thing about the Ger of setting aside money for the Korban. So they're gonna have to explain why they don't accept the other fellow's theory for the 9th. Not only it's like my time about Kerem Papa, why didn't he say Kerem Ravai? Malach Yitzchak Adad Rav Yochanan Zakkai Chalav de Rav Elazar mehavei. Since when it was Rav Yochanan Zakkai, a colleague of Rav Elazar, what did the people say to Rav Elazar? Don't worry, your colleagues have already changed the rule. So they kept Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Rav Yochanan Zakkai was Rav Elazar's Rebbe. Nobody would ever come up to you and say, oh yeah, your buddies are coming when they're talking about your Rebbe. Rav Elazar, the Yidach, what would her papa answer? Kevin and Talmidim Havu, Lav Orachar, Lememrele, Lerabe, Rabcha. Because this was Rav Elazar's Talmidim. It wasn't nice, but it wouldn't be nice for them to come and say, your Rebbe. So they said, your colleagues. But it could still be a reference to his Rebbe. It wouldn't be nice for the students to say to their own teacher, your Rebbe. That's the way Rav Papa read. Rav Papa, my son, Lord, from Nachum, are you fuck? Why did Rav Papa accept that it was the Takana of the strip? Amalach, he talked about Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Remember, Yochanan Zakkai may have a Lashon Shel Zohorit. Wait a second. By the time Rav Yochanan Zakkai was on the scene, there was no more strip at all. Tanya, we have the following biographical record. Rav Yochanan Zakkai is in that tradition of Moshe and supposedly Rabbi Akiva of living 120 years. And by the way, in each one of their cases, each set of 40 is another unit. Arbaim Shana Asak Pukmatya, 40 years he was in business. I'm not sure which 40 years it was because I don't believe anyone is involved in business the day they're born. But Arbaim Shana Lamad, Arbaim Shana Limei. So 40 years he was a student, and then for 40 years he was a master, a teacher. Now we know Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai lived through the Churban. That we all know, because he was the one who made all the takanot at the after the Churban. Plus he was the one who negotiated for Yavne, remember? So if only the last 40 years of his life he was a teacher, and we have a good tradition that for the last 40 years of the Beit HaMikdash there was no strip, Elam Adim, because it would always go red. It would never go white. It would rather red. So therefore, you can't say, oh, they made the takana because sometimes it went white, sometimes it went red. And we know that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai outlived the bayit. So how could it be that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai made the takana because sometimes it's going white, sometimes it's going red, we'll put it on the inside or put it on the goat. By the time 40 years before the Churban come along, which must be before Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was a teacher, because he only taught for the last 40 years of his life, and he outlived the Mikdash. Therefore, there was no point at which he was a teacher that they were using the strip at all. So how could he have been the one to make the takana? Or the, using the strip, that it was takana-able, if you will.
For the last 40 years, it didn't turn white, but that doesn't mean they didn't put it out.
Correct, but he wouldn't have made the takana that because sometimes it's turning white, sometimes it's turning red, we're going to put it here or there. That's the lashon of the takana. Some of the takana is not, since it's always turning red now for 10 years, we're going to keep it private. It's because sometimes it is, sometimes it's not, and people are getting upset, we're going to put it so they won't be able to see it. Right? Which means that the timing just doesn't work out. Unless, of course, you posit that he made the takana before he was a master teacher. Now, that's a little hard. It's not true, because the 40 years in the middle when he was a student, he was a great student sitting in front of his teacher. And he said something, and everybody thought it was good, so they accepted it, made a takana. And his Rebbe, whoever his Rebbe was so enthralled with the idea that he said, my Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, made a takana. So here's how it plays out. Takana number 9 is either the takana that Kerem Ravai may now again be redeemed, even if you're close to Yerushalayim, and the reason that we might say that that's not Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, he's not the author of the takana. By the way, we accept both of these takanot as being takanot. The question is just who's the author. The reason you might argue that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is not the author is because they told Rabbi Eliezer, your colleagues made this takana.
Is that Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol?
That's Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. It's not likely they would have said to him, your colleagues, when referring to his Rabbi.
The Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan
Zakkai? Sure, end of the first century.
But he's significantly older than Rabbi Akiva, right?
He's a Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva.
Right.
Right.
He and Rabbi Yeshua are significantly older than Rabbi Akiva.
Right. They're at the end of the first century. They're not significantly older. That's not true. Because Rabbi Akiva got a late start. Rabbi Akiva was born during the times of the Mikdash. In other words, he was not born post-Churban, but he got a late start. Now, I'm following a bit of chronology on Rabbi Akiva. Okay, the last piece we're going to take a look at is Seder Brachot. And there's an interesting machloket between Rabbi Yochanan Nuri and Rabbi Akiva about how to do the Brachot on Rosh Hashanah Musaf. And the reason is as follows. We know that every time we daven, we say Avot, Gvurot, and Kedusha as the first three brachot. Avodah, Hoda'ah, and Berchat Kohanim / Sim Shalom as the last three brachot. The question is, what do you do in the middle? So on a regular weekday in the middle, you have 12 and now 13 brachot of request. On any Shabbos and Yom Tov, you have one bracha, and that's called Kedushat Hayom. It mentions some special aspect of the day, and it ends with the words Mekadesh HaShabbat, Mekadesh Yisrael HaZmanim, Mekadesh Yisrael Roshei V'Yom HaKippur, Yom HaZikaron, Melech HaKol Aretz, etc. That's the bracha. The only catch here is that on Musaf HaShana you have two changes. Change one is there is nine brachot, not seven. I mean, there's three middle brachot. And you also have to include themes of Malchiyot, Shofarot, Zichronot. Plus you got Kedushat Hayom, which means you got four themes to fit into three brachot. How do they fit? The second thing is that three of those brachot in the middle are going to demand Tkiyah. So how do you formulate that? Say the brachot. Omer Avot Uvurot Kedushat Hashem. That's the first three. V'cholel Malchiyot Imahen. You include Malchiyot in Kedushat Hashem. Oh, by the way, we sort of do that. Because if you think about it, when we say Kedushat Hashem and Rosh Hashanah, we say Uvachain, etc., which is all a sense of Malchut, of God becoming king over the world, and all the world recognizing it. But we don't really do it. Ve'ino tokea, no tkiya. Kedushat Hayom, the fourth bracha, is Kedushat Hayom. That's not Malchut. Kedushat Hayom, despite the special nature of the day, tokea. Zichronot tokea, shofrot tokea. And by the way, tomorrow we'll look at what Zichronot and shofrot, what that means. V'yomer avodah v'odah v'chad konim. Diri Yechom Enuri. That's Diri Yechom Enuri. Amar Rav Akiva. Im eno tokeh l'malchiyot l'ma umazkir. According to you, in the third bracha, you're saying malchiyot, and you're not doing tkiyah. So, if you're not doing tkiyah, why are you saying malchiyot? Malchiyot and tkiyot are totally tied up. Ella, what does Rav Akiva say? This should sound familiar. Avot v'rod kudushat Hashem. Cholel malchiyot in kudushat hayom. But that's exactly what we do. Etc., and then we do Malchiyot. And you include it. V'tokeya. Zichronot tokeya, shavot tokeya, v'avodah v'ahodah v'echad kohanim. So the only place of bone of contention is where Malchiyot goes. Does it go with Kedushat Hashem as the third bracha, in which case there's no tkiya? Or does it go with Kedushat Hayom, which is the fourth bracha, and there is a tkiya? Certainly the fourth, fifth, and sixth brachot have tkiyot.
There can't be tkiyot. For bracha number three?
No. The first three and the last three, no tkiyot. The only question is, where does malchiyot go? That's all. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Im eino tokeh l'malchiyot, l'ma hu mazkir. So we take a look at Rabbi Akiva's attack of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. If you're not going to blow, why mention malchiyot? L'ma hu mazkir, rachmon amar yidkar. What do you mean? The Torah said you have to mention malchiyot. That's by the support for Rashi. It says malchiyot, zichron, shofrot, they're all doraita. El olama Esther. The question is, why do you have to say 10 psukim? Because we get a sense that the 10 psukim of Malchiyot correspond to the 10 sounds of the shofar that are blown. We'll see. Leima teisha. Dehoyel v'ishtani ishtani, because after all, you're not blowing shofar, do it different. Tanu Rabbanan, minayim shomrim avot. This, by the way, is now the general makeup of Shmoneh Esrei. Shema avu la'adonai b'nei elim. B'nei elim being the sons of the mighty ones, the avot. That's not pshat. Pshat in the pasuk is the angel. The menayim shomrim gvurot shenamar avu la'adonai kavod va'oz. Give God strength. Grant to God that He is strength. Menayim shomrim kedushot shenamar avu la'adonai kavod shomrim shtach la'adonai b'hadrat kodesh. Menayim shomrim malchiyot zichronot shofarot. How do I know that I say those three on Rosh Hashanah? Shabbaton zichron trua mikra kodesh. That's the famous pasuk in Vayikra. Shabbaton ze kedushat hayom. That's the day. Zichron elu zichronot, shua elu shofarot, mikra kodesh kacher v'yafteat malacha, sanctified for not doing malacha. But of course, he didn't mention malchiyot. Amar Rabbi Akiva, name malo nomar shabbaton shvot. Why do we say shabbaton means the mitzvah to rest? Shvot patach hakatuv tchila. That's where you start with. First thing is it's a day of rest, and now the psukim. Shabbaton kacher v'yafteat malacha. That's how it should read. The word Shabbaton means you don't do malacha. Zichron elu zichronot, shua elu shofarot, mikra kodesh, zu kedushat hayom. But again, we have left out malchiyot. And the Rav Akiva simply turned kedushat hayom and Shabbaton from the beginning to the end. Minayim shomrim malchiyot, tana rabbi yomer, ani adonai elohechem, uvachodesh asvi, zu malchut. What I did here, if you take a look at pasuk number 30 on the page, you have the end of the previous passage, which is about Peah. And at the end of the Pasuk of Pei, it says, you leave it for the poor, I am God. And the very next thing is, and on the seventh month, you have a day of Truah. So the I am God then reads forward to the Ha, that's Malchiyot. You don't need to go to that stretch. Whenever you blow the chatzot's throat, it'll be a remembrance before Hashem. Which you don't need to say that. Why does it say in the chatzot's throat? This will be a commemoration before God. I am Hashem. To tell you, any time that you have the word zikaron, there's malchiyot that go along with it. So therefore we know, from our base pasuk, which is pasuk Vayikra Chav Gimel, further up on the page, the base pasuk that we have, Shabbaton Zichron Shua, somebody tell me what number it is. It is, is that on the page? What? Oh, yeah, sorry. Pasuk number 30. The main part of Pasuk number 30. Thanks. So from that Pasuk, you see Zichronot, Zichron. You see Shofarot, Truah. You don't see Malchiyot. So you see Malchiyot from the Pasuk, two Pasukim earlier, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, it's the end of the previous Parsha. Or from Pasuk number 31, which is any time you have Zikaron, Malchiyot comes along with it, because in the Chatzotot it says, it'll be a Zikaron, Ani Hashem. Ani Hashem is always Malchiyot. Now, Ve'echan Omrah L'Kedushat Hayom, the last piece we're going to look at today. Where do you say Kedushat Hayom? In other words, in what bracha do you say Kedushat Hayom? Now, the Mishnah had both opinions said it's the fourth bracha. Tanur Rav Yomer Ima Malchiyot Omrah, you said it was Malchiyot. Ma Matinu B'chol Makom Barvi, because it's always the fourth bracha. In Kedushat Hayom, remember the lineup I gave you before, it's always the fourth bracha. Right? Avod Barod Kedushah, Kedushat Hayom. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, so it's always the fourth. So therefore, Kedushat Hayom is the fourth of Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to read. Rosh Hashanah Liel Omer Ima Zichronot Amrei. He says, no, you say it with Zichronot. Why? Ma'atir Mechol Makom Ba'Emsa. It's always the middle bracha. When you have seven, the middle bracha is four. When you have nine, the middle bracha is number five. Avkan Ba'Emsa. Avshakitu Beitin Et Hashanah Be'Usha. Rabbi Yocham and Broka with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So when they were in Usha and they declared Rosh Chodesh. Rabbi Yochanan Bruka was the Shtech Tzibur. V'atar Kam Yochanan Nuri. And what did he do? He davened like Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, which was Avot Gvorot Kedushah, and he included Malchiyot in Kedushah without a Tzkiyah, and then Kedushat Hayom with a Tzkiyah, etc., like we saw in the Mishnah. And Rabbi Shimon Lo Ayuno Agin came to Yavne. He said, in Yavne, we didn't do like that. L'Yom HaSheni. Now, what's Yom HaSheni mean?
Second day.
Yeah, okay, good. We're going to have a problem with that. Yerada Yochanan Yerushal Yosef Gluyim Asa Rabbi Akiva. He did the Rabbi Akiva, which is Kedushat Hashem, and that's it. The fourth bracha was Kedushat Hayom and Malchiyot, and with Tzkiyah. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Kacha Yunuagim Yavne. That's how they did it in Yavne. Lameir Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Akiva still, he holds like Rabbi Akiva. Vaham Rabbi Akiva, Malchiyot Kedushat Hayom Amalahu. Remember, Rabbi Akiva said, you say Malchiyot in the fourth bracha, Kedushat Hayom. But Rabbi Akiva said, Kedushat Hayom is the fourth bracha. What did Shimon Gamliel say? Malchiyot is the fifth bracha, because it's got to be in the middle. Shimon Gamliel said, Kedushat Hayom im ha-zichonot amar lahu. Zera l'mashu tokim l'malchiyot. Now he said, what he meant was, I don't agree with the order of the brachot, but I do agree that you do tkiyot and malchiyot, like Rabbi Akiva. And not like the fellow did on the Yom HaRishon. Now, l'yom ha-sheni arad Rabbi Chanina, my sheni, what's the Yom ha-sheni? Ima yata sheni, lememadav ibrua la'elu, what are you going to tell me? Because this is when they were Makadish Apiriya. That they suddenly had a 30-day elu, and they had 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? What is sheni? L'yom sheni l'shana haba'a. Yom sheni means the next year. Not second day of Rosh Hashanah. They didn't have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. In the Beit Din itself, they knew today is the 30th day of elu, meaning the first day of Tishrei. There's no question. They had 1 day of Rosh Hashanah. And the Yom HaSheni means the next year, Rabbi Chanina, Davin for the Almud, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, yeah, that's the right way to do it. Okay?